MMA Diehards Radio.
It's again another edition of MMA Diehards Radio. I'm your host, Jason Kelly, joined as usual by Joe Rizzo. How's it going tonight, Joe?
Jay, it's going great. It's going to be the best, maybe, hour of your week. I'm not sure how long it's going to be, but I am very, very excited. We're going to catch up with Tara LaRosa after her fight and her trip to Japan. She faced Rin Nakai, and she came up a little short in the eyes of the judges, but we're going to hear all about that experience, not just the fight, but what happened in her trip to Japan. I know you watched the fight, and I watched it as well. And it's just such a different experience, you know, like the MMA experience there as opposed to here. The crowd is quiet. You can't, you know, when you can't understand the announcers, it changes it. It's you have to be maybe like a little bit more critical with your own eye when you're watching it. So I'm interested to hear all about it. And I think you might be too.
Yes, absolutely. And one thing I'd like to know too is it was in Japanese when they were announcing it. I don't know what the actual scorecard was. So I don't know if it was unanimous or split or what the actual result was. So I'd like to find that out from Tara too and find out what the scores are.
Okay, so Tara LaRosa is back off of the plane. She is getting ready to go across this country. She's crossed the Pacific Ocean, but she will take some time to talk about her fight and her experience in Japan. Hey, Tara, it's Joe and Jay. Welcome back to the show. Good to have you back.
Hey, Joe and Jay, how are you doing?
I think we're doing good. Right now, we're doing even better because we have you here.
Exactly.
So give us the quick and dirty about this fight. You came up short against Rin Nakai. We talked about it a few weeks ago that if it went to a decision, barring some kind of, you know, miracle, it was going to be very difficult for the decision to go your way. And in fact, it didn't. So give us the quick and dirty about the fight for those who have seen it and who haven't seen it.
Okay. I personally don't think I came up short. I thought I won. So there's that. Quick breakdown. First round, I was controlling the stand-up. I was eating her up with my hands. Every punch landed, I swear to God. My stand-up has never felt better. I've been training down at Jackson's now for 9 months, and that's primarily what I've been working on. So our game plan was to stand and to stay a distance and a half away from her so we could see her shoot. And that's exactly what I did. And the first round went off perfectly. I thought I won that round. It should have been 10-9 on all judges' scorecards. Going into round two, I was great. We came out and did the same that we did in round one. And I felt her. Like, I hit her really, really hard. And she, like, flew backwards. I was like, go, get her, like, in my head. And I heard my corner go, Tennessee, which for me means go, take off, and just beat the shit out of her. I'll explain that later. So I did, and by miracle of God, I guess, she didn't fall down. And she clinched with me and got a hold of my head and started, she like pulled me down. Girl's really strong. She pulled me down. Started kneeing me in the face, which wasn't hard. It didn't bother me. So I put my hand down, you know, 3 points of contact, so she'd stop kneeing me in the face. And then we went to the ground from there, and she got my back and just kind of rode my back for the rest of the round, which wasn't a big deal because I wasn't threatened with, like, a major submission or anything. I wasn't in any danger. So I thought that I won round two because I thought that I had done enough in the time that we were standing to win that. round three, came out, and I had become, I was getting comfortable with my hands now, and maybe a little too comfortable, but I was tagging her. I was hitting her with everything. And then I guess I got too close, and she shot on me. I didn't see it in time to sprawl. So she got the takedown. It's a clean takedown, really nice. Then we played a little bit on the ground, and there were no up kicks. I don't know if anybody knows this, but they told me I wasn't allowed any up kicks. So I was like, all right, fine.
This is going I want to jump in for 1 second. I am not right? I am not asking this as a sarcastic question, and I want you to know that, and I want the listeners to know that, and I want Jay to know that. I am not asking this as a sarcastic question. Was she allowed to upkick you, but you were not allowed to upkick her?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no clue.
So you don't know.
Ask me about that in a minute. Yeah. So it third round, we went to the ground, and I was just trying to keep her back, keep her distance, whatever, and pull her into my guard when I was ready. And she walked around it and passed her. I tried to turn upside down, and she just kind of landed on me in north-south. And immediately, as soon as she landed on me, she snatched up the Kimura, or the Keylock, or whatever the hell jiu-jitsu people call it. Yeah, I know. I should know what it's called. She snatched it immediately and ripped my shoulder out. Like, it was perfect timing, perfect technique. I'm not going to lie. I was kind of impressed. And she's a strong thing, too. And so instantly, it went. I didn't have time to hold my glove, my hand, grab my leg. Brace, nothing. And kind of like at Thanksgiving dinner when you rip a turkey leg off of the bird, yeah, that's kind of what it sounded like up in my ear. Since my shoulder's all, yeah, next to my ear. And the crowd is always very silent. So, yeah, my shoulder ripped out completely. And by that time, it was only like 40 seconds. So I was like, fuck this. I ain't tapping. So I just sucked it up for the rest of the round, and I didn't tap because I knew I was winning. Why am I going to tap out when I'm winning the fight and there's like 40 seconds left? Forget about it, right? So I sucked it up, and eventually she let go of it, and that was it. And then they gave her the majority decision, which means two judges scored it for her and one judge scored it a draw. See, that tells me I won.
Yeah.
If a Japanese judge gave me a draw, that means I won the whole thing. So to me, that's a win. Whatever. We knew what was going to happen going over there. I knew if it went to a decision, I was going to lose no matter what. And I did. So, I still took the fight. So, whose fault is it? You know? Whose fault is it? I guess I'm to blame. I should have finished it. So, it is what it is. And, I played off the shoulder. It was dislocated. She literally ripped it the fuck out. Like, it's gross. There's pictures of it online. When you watch it on the fight, it's kind of gross. I played it off. I don't want anybody to know. I don't want nobody to know because I just didn't want to know that I was hurt or anything. So doctors came in. I was like, oh, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm great. Whatever. Can't like move my arm, but whatever. And they left, and I'm like laying on the ground in my locker room, in my area, and the pain is getting worse to the point that it's kind of making me nauseous, and I'm feeling like sick. I was like, shit, I don't know what to do. So I called mommy, and I was like, dude, fight went great. I lost the decision, because at the time I thought it was a split decision. Lost the decision, but I looked good. Everything went well, on and on. But we had no problem. I stripped out my shoulder. And what should I do? And he was like, just let the doctors know. They're really good doctors there. Just don't worry about it. Nobody finding out, Miss Nemio. Just tell them. I was like, all right, fine. So, pancreas. I love pancreas for this. This is awesome. Had, like, a team of doctors working the show. I don't know if this is, like, normal, and this is how it always is over there, but they had a team of doctors and a shoulder specialist. I'm not kidding. And so they brought the shoulder specialist in and his assistant, and they worked on me for, like, 25 minutes or so and put my shoulder back in its socket. So, yeah. Thank you, pancreas. Thank you, Japanese doctors. You kind rock.
How much has it changed over there? Like, the actual, like, you're saying about all the doctors and stuff. Since you were fighting there in 2005, you had back-to-back matches over there. Since then till now, how much has it developed and got better or worse even?
I thought it got, I fought on smaller shows that I thought over there, and I didn't have to see a doctor at all. For the last two times I was there, I didn't really have that kind of problem where I had a limb hanging off of my body. So, I really couldn't tell you from that aspect, but I can tell you the pancreas is run really professionally, and it's run really well. There's some hairy moments in there. They like to mess with you. There's a couple of things they probably could have fixed, or they're doing it on purpose to mess with people.
What are those couple of things? I want to know.
Okay, yeah. Let's get into that. So there's some things you need to know if you're going to fight in Japan. Number one, they're going to hit you with stuff last minute. They're going to try and mess with you. I don't know if they're trying to or not, but they do. They sprung this one on us in the locker room before the fight. Costume check. They have to check your outfit. I don't know what they're checking for in particular, but they're checking your outfit. And they got Ricky Whitson, who is another American who is fighting over there, for his shorts, because he is wearing, I guess, his cup and the jockstrap and compression shorts. But his jock was, like the shock doctor, where it has, like, the elastic, and it doesn't, like, tie or whatever. So they weren't going to let him, like use that, or it needed to be tied with string. Like, it had to have string or something because elastic breaks or whatever the hell. And so they didn't like his compression shorts, I guess, because they were elastic waist and they didn't tie. Everything's got to be tied. Everything has to tie. I don't know.
Are you sure you weren't in Thailand?
Their shorts. Yeah, so they were like $50. So they made them buy pair of shorts and wear them. This was like a big deal. Right before somebody's fight, this is not cool. This is like not cool at all. And they checked out my stuff, and they were getting a little weird about my shorts because I didn't have drawstring in my shorts. They're just Under Armour, just elastic Under Armour with patches on them. That's it.
And you got to have string. So, it's got to be. You got to have some kind of string. It's got. You got to be tied. You know.
Yeah, tie. Yeah, it has to tie, I guess. But I wear a singlet underneath of my shorts and top, so there's no accidents. They were cool with mine. I was good, but they were discussing it pretty deeply, like, and they were looking through papers and they were looking through rule manuals and all kinds of shit. And I was just like, not having it, whatever. So there's that. They do that kind of stuff. Now, here's another point. There was no rules meeting, at least not that I know of or that I was a part of. The day before, when we had weigh-ins, we had weigh-ins, and we had a big media thing where we all sat there at these tables, and the media was out in the audience, and they had us all stand up and say something, and the media asked us questions. It was cool. Kind of felt bad for the guys because they wanted to just go eat. Nobody really wants to sit there when they're cutting weight. But then again, a lot of the Japanese don't cut weight that hard.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, they know to bring shit with them to the weigh-ins because you're going to be there a while. Me, I didn't have to cut weight, so it was no big deal. But some of the other guys, I felt really bad for. But at this thing, there was no rule meeting or anything. They came into my locker room the day before and asked me if I had any questions about the rules, which I did. And they told me that it was Athena rules, which means it's special women's rules. Same round times, 3 5-minute rounds, that's fine. No elbows, which is standard. There's no elbows for men or women at all.
Ground elbows, not standing, right? Standing, you're allowed to elbow?
No, all. No, oh. No elbows at all, standing or ground.
Oh.
I don't know what the deal is for men's, if there's, stomps and soccer kicks and knees to head on the ground. I didn't watch any of the other fights. I don't know. But somebody said that there was. Maybe. I don't know. But there wasn't for me. There wasn't for me. And then they said no up kicks. What the fuck do you mean no up kicks? Are you kidding me? So, when she's standing and I'm on my back on the ground, I can't kick up at her face. No up kicks. Well, shit, how convenient is that? She's 5'1" and I'm 5'6". Well, alright. Great. Fine.
And was that just no up kicks to the head or the body, too?
I don't know. I didn't want to be disqualified, so I didn't throw any.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't really go through my head that that's really going to be a factor, you know, as I'm sitting in the locker room, I'm kind of nervous. I'm getting my hands taped, and I'm making sure I got my mouth guard and that my hair is put where it's supposed to be. I'm just like, okay, whatever, fine, I'll go with it. I've fought under so many rule constraints that I just roll with it. I mean, you could tell me what the hell ever, and I'll just try and curtail my game plan to it. So no up kicks. So that's why in the third round it looks a little funny when she's bent right over my knees and right over my legs. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, well, shit, how convenient is this? She's not even guarding her face. I'm like, oh, I really wanted to kick her right in the face. But, so yeah, there's that. So maybe it's just for women they'll pull special rules on you. I don't know. They did on Danielle West. Danielle West, she couldn't do any chokes, and she couldn't throw any knees, but that was because she missed weight. Which brings me to another point, which is protocol for pancreas, which I don't think too many people know about, because everybody is shocked and horrified when they find this out. When you miss weight, you get fined $2,000. It doesn't matter what the hell you're making. If you're making $3,000, if you're making $2,000, you have to pay pancreas $2,000. Okay?
Holy shit.
Yeah, alright. So, if you're over far enough that they call off the fight, or you can't fight, or you've cut so much that you're dying. Now, if the fight does not go on, not only do you owe $2,000, but you have to pay them back for your flights. Now, I don't know about where anybody else came from, but my flights were about $3,100. So I was not missing money. Yeah, so now you're in the hole about $5,000, give or take, whatever. If you don't fight, if you end up not fighting, you get a loss on your record. It's considered a forfeit. That's an L. It's reported as a loss. So that's what happens if you miss weight and you don't fight. There may be some other shit in there as well. I don't know.
Interesting way to describe that.
Yeah. If you miss weight and you do fight, then the best you can get is a draw. Even if you win, if you choke them out, knock them out, armbar them, rip out their spleen, what the hell ever you do, you get a draw. Doesn't matter. And, of course, you're going to go off. Yep. So that's the best. And you still have to pay $2,000. That protocol, though, nobody knows this because it just hasn't happened that many times. And when it has happened, it just hasn't been publicized. You know, everybody's embarrassed to miss weight, of course. But that's why everybody's so shocked when it happened to Danielle West and they slapped her with all these crazy rules. I don't know about the rules thing. I don't know if they want to, if they mess with that or not. I mean, maybe that's just for women, but I'm not sure. But that's what happens for pancreas. You do not want to miss weight when you fight for this organization or in Japan at all. I'm thinking they do this in other places as well. This is always a thing. Like, you knew, like back in the day when I was starting out, you knew that you didn't miss weight in Japan. Number one, it's very disrespectful and they take it very personally. Like, they take it very seriously personally. You really don't want to piss people off when you're in a foreign country. Just saying. So, there's all that. Other than that, it's really fun. But yeah, so yeah, that's that. Rin is super nice. She's a really, really nice chick. I got to talk to her through a translator after the fights, and she was very, very nice and very complimentary, and she was like, you know, like honored to fight me and everything like that. I've been around for so long. And she's like, oh, she's on steroids. I don't know. She was doing some crazy flips and gymnastic shit, like after the fight, like in the ring.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, well, when people who were like high level gymnasts, they looked like her. They looked like that. Like wrestlers, like major high level Olympic wrestlers, like Sarah McMahon. Sarah McMahon looks like that too. Okay, and she swears up and down, and everybody else swears up and down she's not on roids. So I can't win the guy look like that. She's 5'1". She's like squished down into a little person's body, like all this muscle on a little person. So I don't know. I don't know if she is or not. I can tell you that she has a strength and conditioning coach, and he's pretty badass. I met him as well. And that's like a thing in Japan. There's not like a lot of strength and conditioning. Like they don't do like crazy shit like that, like lifting and whatever. So I'm thinking that maybe when it comes to athleticism, maybe she's just on a different program. She's just on a different level than some of the other chicks, you know? And Roxanne did tell me that she eats a lot, like a whole lot, a lot, which is like way, way more than any normal Asian. Like their portions are very small. So, they just, you know, eat a lot less than Americans do. That's why we're fat and they're not.
So, Tara, if she if I mean, let's face it, it's probably close to being a when rather than an if. But if slash when Rin Nakai comes to the U.S. to fight, I mean, do you think that she'll compete at 135? You think she'll have better offers at 125? I mean, do you think she could even make 115? You know, like you said, that she didn't seem to cut anything for this fight, and the fight was at 135, right?
I don't think she cut at all. Seriously. She was not sucked out. She was not struggling for needing water afterwards. She did nothing. She was, I think, honestly, she probably walks around at that weight. Serious. I didn't cut either. I was eating the whole time I was there, and I weighed in at 134 and a half. I woke up at 134 and a half. I didn't have to go to a sauna. I didn't do baths. I didn't do nothing at all. So, whatever. But I really think that she should fight at 25 if she comes to the U.S. I think she's going to get killed at 135. I'm not a finisher standing. Like, I just don't really have the mechanics for that, for some reason, I don't know, but the chicks that do, and like the chicks in the UFC at 135, and some of the chicks at Invicta at 135, are going to kill her. She's too short for 135. So, just saying, I don't know, I think she might do better at 25 or 15.
Now did you get a chance? I thought I saw Megumi Fujii tweet a picture or two with you. Was she in Rin's corner, or what was she just being?
No, she wasn't in Rin's corner, but she was there. She was at the show. I think she had some guys fighting on that show. Like, she's a coach. Like, she has a school. Like, her and Abayami, they have a school, and like, they have a lot of fighters. So, she's, like, at all the shows all the time. That's what she does. She's a coach, not just a fighter. You know, she's a client as well. But, yeah, and I love her, Jimmy. She's so awesome. So I got to hang out with her a little bit, and that was fun. I haven't seen her in a couple of years. So that was too awesome. You know?
And her retirement fight is actually just a couple of days away, I believe.
I,
and she's fighting Jessica Aguilar for that one, and that should be a pretty good you know, if it's anything
that's
like their
fight.
Previous fight, it's going to be great. I think I think it's available, Jay, it's available on pay-per-view stream, that fight. Yeah, so
yeah, pay-per-view stream.
I'll be watching that.
And, Tara, too, like you mentioned yesterday on Twitter when we were talking topics we're going to discuss, one of them was Japanese food. And you said you ate the whole time you were there. And as a chef, as of recently, not a chef anymore, but a chef for a long time, tell me something about the food over there. What were you eating? What was the difference between, you know, authentic Japanese food and the way it's cooked in America or Canada and all that stuff?
I don't know. But it's so much better. I don't know what they did to it or lack thereof, but I don't know. Just the ingredients, I guess, were so much fresher, and it just was so, like, such a clean taste. Like, seriously, with everything. It wasn't heavy with oil. It wasn't heavy with, like, it really, you know how a lot of, like, Asian food has just heavy with sodium, so much sodium.
Mm-hmm.
Really wasn't, not at all, not one bit. Like, it was great. Like I said, I ate lunch and dinner on the 2 days that I was there prior to weigh-ins, and I woke up on weight. Like, I didn't have to got water. I didn't have to anything. Yeah, so it was totally, I don't know. Their food is amazing. Sushi, sashimi, everything. Like, they're like things that we call pot stickers over here. Oh, forget about it. No. They're so much better over there. They taste entirely different. The stuff that we have over here is shit. Okay? Just saying.
How do you really feel?
I could stay there for the food alone. It's so good.
And then come back to the U.S. to fight.
Yes. Training is better over here. Definitely. Yes. Much better. But yeah, oh my god. And the greatest thing is they make they advertise all the food in the window, okay? And they make little plastic replicas, like exact perfect replicas of their food, of the dishes that they offer. And there can be like an entire window full of just dishes lined up of all the shit that they have. And being American and not knowing any other language, especially Japanese, they will walk with you outside the shop, the cafe or whatever, and you can point to what you want. and they will try and describe it to you best they can in what English they do know. And you can point. And it's perfect. And it's awesome. And it comes out looking exactly like the dish. Like over here, like when we advertise like for Burger King and McDonald's and all that shit, you see these big, beautiful, tasty burgers up on the billboards. And they look so fresh and they look so wonderful. And then when you actually, like, come through the drive-thru to get them, they're, like, this squished, disgusting, friggin' mess of slop. Yeah. Not the case in Japan. Not the case at all.
I believe that the best stat I've ever heard the venerable Anthony Bourdain ever give is that in Japan, they actually have more vending machines than people, and that you can get pretty much anything out of a vending machine. Did you notice that?
Yeah. There's vending machines just everywhere, like even in residential areas. Like, we were in Yokohama, which is its own city. It's not Tokyo. Like, Tokyo is a different thing. It's, like, a little bit further away. But we were in Yokohama, which is a lot less touristy, and there are vending machines just right outside apartment buildings. Like, you know, it's everywhere. They're everywhere. Like, I don't know if you could, like, if you live in, like, a little residential section, you know, and it's a little subdivision or something, you're not going to see random vending machines anywhere, right? Well, they're there. They're there. And they have everything from energy drinks and water to vitamin waters and beer and all kinds of wild shit. There's all kinds of shit in these vending machines. I did not see any of the vending machines that have panties in them, though.
Oh, like the used ones?
You were in the lookout?
Maybe I wasn't in the right area, but I didn't see any underpanties vending machines. I really kind of wanted to see this. I've heard many legends of it, but I have not yet seen it.
Did anybody ask you for your underpants before you left?
No, they didn't. Well, I was going to have my starting price at $1,000.
Oh my god!
I will sell my dirty underwear if anyone is interested. I will sell you.
Stop
a Victoria's
it,
Secret song that I have worn for a couple of hours. Starting price of $1,000. We'll go from there.
Is there any way that I can just? Is there any way that I can just unhear what I just heard, or am I just now scarred for life?
I didn't say I would model them. I'm not going to do all that. I'm not giving nobody a show. It's not. We're not getting freaky, not getting all, like, I don't know, kinky on my end. We're not. But if you want my underwear, starting price is $1,000. Just saying.
All right, so I think that our good buddy Coolpaw could retweet that in Japanese and maybe DM you the people who will buy it.
Yes, hit me up at Tara LaRosa on Twitter. Yes.
Oh my
God. I have a PayPal. Thank you.
Oh, this is good. How do we even segue in anything else after that? Where do you go from that?
funny story. Because I'm kind of like, I'm just simple, you know. I'm just kind of simple sometimes. So, you know, Japan, I mean, their technology just exceeds ours, like, makes us look ridiculous. I have an iPhone 4, okay? And I'm still kind of like, you remember those days when you, like, had to, like, you'd lift your phone up and try and find a better reception, you'd wave it around and, like, walk around the corner or whatever. Well, me and Jody Escobar went with me. We walked down to the convenience store, which is a whole other story on its own. And it's like, I don't know, 10, 11 o'clock at night. And you'd think, like, everybody would be, like, in their house and asleep. This place is still popping pretty good. You know, there's still people out and about walking around. So there's this poor fella who was, I guess, texting his phone. And he was drinking an energy drink at the same time, right outside this convenience store. And so I hadn't been getting very good reception, or I couldn't make my phone work, just because I'm stupid that way sometimes, and just couldn't figure it out. So I thought, well, if I lift it up in the air, maybe I'll find reception somehow. So I'm waving my phone around in the air like the Statue of Liberty, looking for reception. I'm dead serious about this. I'm not even being funny. And this fella, this guy, looked at me, and he tried so hard to stifle a laugh. they're so polite, and they're so proper, and they would never laugh at you. But this must have been the most ridiculous thing he's ever seen, because he shot energy drink out of his nose. At the Dumb American. So, I randomly entertain Japanese people. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And last time we had it on a few weeks ago there, Joe gave his prediction that he thought Roxanne Modafari was making it the finals of Tough. And obviously we know now that's not happening. And we heard about that happen when you watched Shayna's loss at the beginning of the season. So how is it seeing Roxanne?
I didn't see it.
You didn't watch it?
The day that I flew out. No, that was the day that I flew out early that morning, Wednesday morning, so I didn't see it air. I still haven't seen it. I knew what happened. Like, I lied.
Yeah.
Last time I was on the show, I lied. I knew all the results. I didn't see it, and I just gotta wait till I'm somewhere that I can sit down and watch it by myself or whatever. So, because that's really upsetting, especially the way it happened. Oh my God. So yeah, it just I haven't gotten to see it yet. I didn't see last night's episode either. I just been just really trying to get ready to go. I'm heading back to Jersey. I'm driving back to Jersey, so I'm on my way. I'm going to be coming through Johnson City, Tennessee, which is my home away from home on my way home. And I don't think I'll be doing a whole hell of a lot of training because I only have one arm at the moment. So, but it's fine. I'm not pulling a Misha Tate. Where, oh, my life is over, oh, I'll never fight again, oh, blah, 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 shut the fuck up. I'm good. I'll be back in, I don't know, give me a month and a half, I'll be back, I'm good. So,
let's talk.
I'm like a starfish, I regenerate. I can regenerate my limbs.
Let's talk.
I'm good like that.
Let's talk tough for a second, but not from a specific standpoint, just from a really general standpoint. You guys are killing me this year. You're killing me. How come I have to get my heart broken every freaking week? First it starts with you. My heart breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have, you know, I'm like, my eggs are in, you know, Shayna's basket with, you know, the backup eggs in Roxanne's, you know.
Shayna and Rox.
And then.
All riding on them.
And then she breaks my heart. What was left of it. Then, yeah. As if that's not bad enough, then Roxanne takes what's left of my broken heart and rips it completely out of my chest and twists it around. I mean, it's
depressing as hell.
But on the same, like at the same time, there's like you're not getting the gratification from it because it's fighting, it's a job, and it's results based. You know, like if you win, you get paid more. You know, it's better for your career if you win, right? But the fact that at least you've gotten the exposure and at least you got the chance. Like, what would have been worse is if you never even had the chance, you know? And you've been in that position for so long where you never really had the chance. There wasn't a UFC for women to go to. There wasn't an Ultimate Fighter for women to go to. You know, it was smaller shows, and it was a faction that, you know, got to some of the bigger shows. And, you know, so it's like on the one hand, it's great that you guys got to participate in it. And, you know, if you've seen the Twitter love for Roxanne Modafferi, like on the last two episodes, it's like, it's just unilateral that everybody's like, okay, she's definitely the most beloved fighter in the history of the Ultimate Fighter. Like she's, there's not even like a second place, you know? And, So from that standpoint, as heartbreaking as it was to see the loss, it's gratifying to see everybody get to know what I've known for a long time. Like, there's really some validation in that. You know what I mean? That there's more to being for those veteran girls that you always talk about. There's more to it than the fighting and the dedication. It's just you're a certain kind of group of people that's just, it's just special. It's just different. And, you know, some of us who've had the privilege to kind of be in the know and share some of those, you know, moments and have you, you know, come on and do stuff like talk on the radio to share some of those moments over the years. You know, it's now I feel like everybody's getting a taste of what I've known for a long time. So in that way, it's gratifying. But as gratifying as it is, you know, to see Roxanne laying on the bottom of the cage and let out like a primal scream. I mean, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was literally crying, like watching a TV show, you know, like, because it was that emotional, you know?
I told you. This season was going to be shocking. That's what I was talking about. I knew all this shit. I knew what happened, and people are just going to be shocked.
It's actually,
I mean, from the very first episode, me and Evinger both lost and didn't even get into the house. Like, everybody predicted us to be in the house at least. All right. Well, I got blown. Okay. And then, so it's riding on Shayna and Rox. Well, Shayna loses. Shit, what the fuck? You know, seriously. And then Rox, the Cinderella story. She's going to come back. She's making the big comeback. You know, she's been down and out. She's been around so long. She's been here and there and everywhere. And then, the same way she went out against Kaufman. When she got her big shot on the big show. Right, and it was right after beating me, too. That was such a huge deal back then, because I hadn't been beaten for fucking 7 years, 15 fights, whatever it was, I don't remember. but she was coming off of that, and then to be stopped dead, just short of reaching that dream of the, there it is, the big show, and then she got slammed and knocked out with Kaufman, and it's like the same thing again. She was on Five Fights Five, she came back, she fought her heart out, she tapped out Valerie Letourneau, you know, she got into the house, she made it, she's a happy warrior, she's your positive spirit, she's your hope, she's your dreams, she's everything that you are. You know, because you're the willow guy. You're the one that'll never make it. And then all of a sudden, again, it happens again. So I really, really hope that everybody still just rallies around Roxanne. I hope she becomes, like, the face of the ultimate fighter. The face of the underdog. The face of just what it is to bust your damn ass for years and years on end and finally get that shot. I hope that's what she becomes. I hope that for Rox.
I couldn't understand, like, without seeing it, why she would have moved from Japan other than, you know, like what I said the last time around. I'm like, well, she moved from Japan. I'm just, and I was convinced. I'm like, she did well in this thing, and you know, she's really going all out. And then after I saw what happened,
it was so difficult for me to sit here and talk to you while you're saying that, and I'm just like, oh God, no, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. Like, she finally realized that she needs the training in the U.S. She needs the culture, and she needs the training that we have over here. It's just different in Japan. It's just completely different. And they treat the women a lot differently. And I spoke to Rin about this, to Rin Nakai about this, you know, because she, like I said to Rin, you know, I was like, you don't need all the costumes and all the crazy videos. You know, you don't have to do it like that. You're good enough to get noticed for your skills and for yourself. You don't need all this crazy stuff. You're a good enough fighter alone, and you're a beautiful person. There are people that appreciate you and appreciate your athleticism, and you're not a freak, and you're not a weirdo. You know, just because you have big muscles and you don't look like every other Asian girl, you know? And it was kind of an emotional moment, you know. But she understood it, and she's just, you know, it's just different over there, you know. And I think Roxanne was up. She was, like, up at the top, and she was freaking awesome, and she's so technical and so good, and you just never would think that, you know. It's amazing. So then when she went over to Japan, I think her training started to decline, especially when she was going from one gym to another and kind of bouncing around because of either work or location or whatever it had to do with. And I think that really, really hurt her over the years. And she held on to all of that she had for as long as she can, but it just slowly over time diminished. And then she just started to slide. So finally, being back over here on the show, in the house for 6 weeks, training hard and badass, and like we do over here, it's just different. It's harder sparring, it's harder, more intense, you know? And she can understand what the hell everybody's saying. Granted, yes, she speaks Japanese, but still, when you're in a training situation, it's just completely different not hearing it in your native tongue. So I think that she just kind of finally realized, if I'm going to do this, you know, if I'm going to continue with this, then I can teach English for the rest of my life after I can't do MMA anymore. So finally, she's back. Roxanne Montferrer is back, and I'm really, really, really excited about it. And she's only like 6 hours away from me, so I can go and see her and hang out and train, and we can go like Dance Revolution or whatever she wants.
Well, and you know what, Tara, too? That's to kind of top that off and put a bow on what you were just saying, if people – the one thing that actually doesn't really come across or didn't really come across in the way in her tough segment, you know, where they give the background about the fighter and everything, you understand that she was based out of Japan, but – unless you know her, you don't understand that she loves it there, you know, and that's, yeah. She considers it her home and she didn't want to leave for anything. So for her to actually move away from there, I mean, she's at once, she's giving up one of her dreams to pursue another one of her dreams, you know, and that did not come across, but you know, if anybody's listening to this, and you know, I hope we shed a little bit of light on you, on it for you, because that's I mean, we've never had storylines like this on The Ultimate Fighter. I mean, we really haven't. Like, it's always been.
No, it's
always been.
It's heartfelt. It's, you really feel for these people. You connect to the chicks. Like, you connect to us. It's, with the guys, they're a dime a dozen. You can get male fighters all day, every day, anywhere in the country. That's easy.
Well, you know, in the early seasons, there were some fighters that people drew really big connections to, like Chris Lieben. You know, he's got a legion of fans.
That was still on the first. It was the first show, and right. It was the first time anybody had seen anything like that. So everything was brand new.
Right, but yeah. Like the connection for him, you know, for the most part was, you know, here's a guy that was clearly, you know, troubled and had his demons and everything, but yet you saw that he could fight and you just wanted him to succeed, even if you didn't agree with everything that he was doing in the house. And there have been a few of those types over the years as well. But there's never been a Roxanne, you know, where you just, you wanted to, like, everybody just likes her. And it's the same, you know, it's the same opinion from, like, universally. Like, you don't hear one detractor. And that's kind of, like, rare in our society.
Roxanne still has an innocence about her that we all lost years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way that I can describe it. And it's like...
Well, when you see the episode that they just did, the follow-up episode, the one that aired this week, the mm-hmm. you know, that followed up to her fight, you actually, it really comes across, actually, in that one. There's a scene with her and Josh Hill,
mm-hmm.
Jay's buddy. And exactly what you're saying comes completely across. I'm not going to ruin it for you because it's actually, it's probably the funniest moment of the, I mean, I can't imagine there's going to be a funnier moment the whole season, right, Jay? Would you say?
No, I texted him as soon as it happened, dude.
It was
hilarious.
It was really good.
Okay, cool.
And actually, if you read Shayna Baszler's blog on the MMA Corner, she talks about some of the stuff that was behind the scenes that led up to that scene too, which was good. That kind of enhanced it. So
Shayna's blog is amazing. Shayna's blog is the best. Everybody's got to read Shayna. Every time you watch the show, you got to read Shayna's blog because she really, really puts so much of the little pieces behind what you just saw. You know, it's just like, her blogs are awesome. Also, Peggy Morgan, she has a good video blog, and she's very well spoken. She's cool. She's fun to watch. So that's a good one too.
Well, Peggy should be very well spoken, considering she's like an, isn't she like an English literature teacher or something?
Yeah. She's like a major literary master. I don't know what the hell, but she, yeah.
What was your major in college?
Physical education.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I majored in gym class.
That's awesome.
Yay.
That was good. I got my backhanded
digging.
Don't
expect anything too profound out of me. I mean, I'm still, even though I've been gone for a little while, I'm still Jersey fresh.
Yeah. Just like that Victoria's Secret thong, right?
$1,000 starting price. Hit me up.
Good God.
Oh.
Oh my God. Jay, you have to talk because I can't.
Get them now. Get them now, because if I ever make it into the UFC, then bitches are going up to $5,000, okay? So, get them now. So if I make it into the UFC, starting price is $5,000, okay? But right now, they're at $1,000 for my used panties, okay? Get them while they're hot.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Fucking awesome.
Fucking ridiculous.
Okay, somebody say something. That would be me. All right, so I guess what's next for you is cross-country back-and-forth drive and maybe a reassessment of the shoulder that Rinnakai tried to tear off of you like a turkey leg when she was pulling her...
Yes.
Kimura Kana key lock.
Oh, it was so good. It was like, it was so precise and such great technique. I mean, it's impressive, really. I mean, it's a great move,
Yeah, I was watching the fight.
You know, always give credit where credit's due. She deserves credit for that. It was a really good move.
I had seen the still picture of it, and I was like, wow, that's cranked. And then I watched the fight about an hour before we started the show, and I was looking at him like, man, she is cranking the shit out of that.
Mm-hmm. It was at a perfect angle, and it was wound up behind me. Yes. It was painful, to say the least. It sucked. But what are you going to do? I'm just not the tapping type. I don't know.
You were like...
I have never been tapped out by another woman before in my life, ever. I've been in combat sports for 17 years, and I have in training, in tournaments, in fights. I've never been tapped out. So, whatever.
The first Donald Cerrone Benson Henderson fight. Like, that's how cranked that was.
Yeah.
I don't know if you recall that, Jay.
I don't, actually.
I was talking to Jay, but...
What?
You know, I was a little bit annoyed, because she tried to porto me. She tried to kick me like porto did. She tried to kick my leg out from under me. It instantly... Okay, I gave her the benefit of the doubt after the first or second kick. I was like, all right, whatever, it's just part of her game. Whatever, you know, she wants to use the distance because she's really short. She's going to kick me instead of trying to punch me. Fine. But she kept doing it, and it pissed me right the fuck off. I was just mad because it was unoriginal. Somebody already did it. Don't do it again. It's too obvious. I was, like, annoyed. So for the chicks out there that are listening to this, if you kick me, I'm going to do my very best to drive my right hand so far down your throat you're going to shit it out. Okay?
Nom, 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 nom.
That's how I feel about getting kicked. I don't like it anymore, and I'm over it. I'm annoyed with it. It's been done. Kick me in the head or something. Just like head kick knockout, pull a Holly. Come on, just get original with it. Do something else. Yeah. Right. End rant.
And when you say a Holly, you're talking about your new teammate, Holly Holm, right?
Yes, my teammate Holly Holmes, who kicked the chick in the face and knocked her the fuck out. It was amazing.
She's fucking badass, yeah. She
oh
is going to fuck a lot of people up in this sport.
Yes. Yes, she is.
Holy shit.
I would know because I trained with her. And yes, she will. Trust me.
Yeah, I believe it. She's just one of those fighters that you can tell right from the beginning that they're going to be a serious force.
Oh, and she just learns shit so damn fast, too. Kind of pisses me off. Oh, I mean, like, now she's got wrestling. Like, now she's got wrestling. Her big 5'10" ass has wrestling. I'm like, come on, really? Fuck. She's a lot of fun. She's really, really awesome person. She's great. And she just learned so fast, you know? So it's really going to be fun to see how the rest of her career unfolds, you know?
Nice.
All right, Tara. Have a good trip across the country. When you get to New Jersey, come by and see us. I owe you some food.
Sounds good.
I owe you some food.
I gotta thank people. Do I get to thank people?
Of course,
you
get
people?
Yes, you do. But I'll walk you into that. I just was
okay,
saying.
All right.
I was saying that.
All right, just making sure. It sounded like we were about to hang up. So you know.
No, I'll make sure you get to thank people. I owe you food from, like, a long time ago.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. anything you're not eating these days, or pretty much you're good to go?
Well, I'm gluten-free, but, you know.
Really?
And red sauce gives me indigestion really bad.
Okay, so
it's
gluten-free.
Terrible.
Yeah, okay, so when you stop by, you could have a bowl of rice.
Exactly. Pretty much. That's how it goes.
Yeah, so when you come over, I'll just go out, like, to the store, and I'll just buy some sushi for us.
You grab me an apple, you know? It's, yeah. I'm ruined on Japanese food. Like, I've been to Japan. I've eaten real Japanese food over here.
It's
just not okay.
All right. Well, I'll try to work it out either way. But
all right, right on.
So, is there before we let you go, Tara LaRosa, is there anybody that you'd like to thank or mention?
Well, shucks. Now that you mention it, yeah, I think there's a couple people I'd like to thank.
Starting with Victoria's Secret.
Yes, absolutely. I would like to thank the future person that decides that they would like a pair of my used panties for $1,000. Okay. I would definitely, I have to first and foremost thank Jackson's MMA, Greg Jackson, Coach Winklejohn, Mike Valle, Brandon Gibson, Izzy Martinez. Those are our coaches, and they're the best in the world. They're amazing. They have so much knowledge and so much patience to offer us. It's awesome. I want to thank my teammates. I have a shit ton of them. I'm not going to name them all by name, but, I mean, Jody Escobel, my corner, she was perfect, who went over to Japan with me. She was amazing. She said all the things that I needed to hear during the fight, and she was perfect at calling the timing and the things I needed to do. It was awesome. And she did my hair, and she wrapped my hands, which was awesome. Totally awesome, because I hate having my hands wrapped, and generally I cut the damn things off, and I fight without hand wraps. So thank you so much, Jody. Very cool. We had a lot of fun, too. I'm going to thank Pancras. Thank you for having me. Very awesome, you know? Thank you to Bailey Dog, which is Kedzie's dog, who is absolutely keeps us all calm and sane and is always there for love and support. Thank you, Bailey Dog. She was actually on my Rosh card, front and back. Yes, so you can go look at the pictures. Rev Gear is my new sponsor, and they are freaking amazing. and they came along just in time because my shin pads fell apart. I'm about to have some shiny new gear. I'm very, very excited about landing Rev Gear as my sponsor. They are awesome, and I'm so excited. Also, Aqualogix, who I'm sure hardly anyone has heard of. Aqualogix is a company that does resistance equipment for the pool, like the resistance bells and the resistance fins, because I can't run anymore because my body's so messed up that I do all my cardio swimming in the pool. So this stuff is what totally, absolutely helps me, and I swear by it, and they've been amazing. You know, like, totally revolutionized my training when it comes to cardio and strength and conditioning. So huge thanks to Aqualogix. Please look them up and check out some of their videos and stuff for alternative training for those of you who can't run.
Like me.
Yes, for old people. It's great for old people.
Like you.
Like you.
Like you.
Like me.
Like,
yes. Because I am an old person now.
Yes. You are
so,
old.
Thank you. Thank you to everybody. Thank you to Precision MMA in Johnson City, Tennessee, my home away from home on my way home. Those guys are, like, totally awesome. And actually, that's where I kicked off my camp for, like, the first 2 weeks of my camp because I was up there traveling. So, yay. Thank you. Very cool. Love you guys. Pineapple, Ian, Dustin, Caleb, all those guys over there. So...
Okay, one word answer before you go.
Uh-oh.
Next fight, 135 or 125?
I have no idea.
But knowing your body and knowing where you're at and knowing how your training's going, are you feeling more like a 135er or a 125er these days?
125.
Tara LaRosa, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great trip. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you. Talk to y'all later. Bye.
Thanks, Tara. Have a good one.
Okay. Still there, Jay?
And then number two.
Okay, there we go. Too much to even recap.
Oh, I know. And for all the listeners, you're welcome. That was great as always. 2 weeks ago she was on. Amazing. I was back from Japan just as good, still on fire.
Nah, you know, I mean, it's sort of like an old habits never die thing. I mean, I always wanted to do, you know, a show with Tara. And, you know, there were times when we were doing Rear Naked Choke Radio where she was, you know, she was basically, I mean, she co-hosted with me so many times that she was really like a regular, so... A lot of times when she comes on with us, I think that dynamic is still there. It's
oh, yeah.
You know, it's not so much, you know, we still you know, do it a little guesty, but there's a little bit more. But that was we went somewhere tonight that we've never gone. So.
Oh yeah. We're never gonna top that one. It's gonna be tough to top that one.
I don't even want to mention it again.
<couldn't yet. laughs>
although I wouldn't mind getting 10% of whatever she gets on the sale.
Gotta get along hot before she's in the UFC.
Oh my god, that was just the end of it right there. Get them while they're hot. No.
Oh, that's good.
All right, well. We got everything we bargained for and a little bit more tonight. Thanks to Tara LaRosa. You can follow her on Twitter at Tara LaRosa, LaRosa, all one word. Tara LaRosa, all one word. That is Jason Kelly, JMMA Diehards, JAYMMA Diehards on Twitter. And my name is Joe Rizzo. You can follow me on Twitter At Rear Naked Choke, all one word, just like the move. Yes, it's the original one. Yes, I was on Twitter probably before just about everybody else that was listening to this, and I grabbed that name way back when. So for Jay Kelly, this is Joe Rizzo. Thanks for listening to MMA Diehards Radio.